morning, church. It is so nice to be here with you today. And just like Miss Julie said, we have a lot of good news, don't we? If you believe that, raise your hand and wave at me. I believe in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in his second coming. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in prayer. My goodness, I just keep on believing, all right? So before we start, please bow your heads with me and let us ask him to be here with us today. Dear kind Heavenly Father, I ask you to create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit. Let the words that come from my mouth be the meditation of your heart. And let everyone here be lifted to feel the Holy Spirit in their hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I haven't heard a lot of good news lately. I don't know about y'all. But I have to really look for it. Especially if I turn on the television or turn on my phone, which I sometimes would like to take a whole day break from. But we as Christians have a whole different perspective. I would like to share some texts with you that are heralded through, went the wrong way, y'all. Teach an old dog a new trick. Here we go. Okay, I'd like to share a few of these with you because they mean a lot to me. Here's the first one. Proverbs 25:25. I'll be reading from the New Living Bible. Its translation. It says, hearing good news from a distant land is like a drink of cold water when you are thirsty. You ever been thirsty? Like, so thirsty. Like, I know, I miss summer too. Anyway, for my friend Miranda, I know this is your season and fall, but I miss summer. But in those times when I'm there and I feel thirst, it's good news is like that. It's when you've had a really good drink of water. Here's another one. Luke 2. Verses 10 and 11. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. We're not off from that season very far, are we? We've had a blessed Christmas time when we bring back to our minds the thought of that sweet baby in the manger. And the angels proclaimed that good news. Here's another one. These are Jesus' own words. You have to remember at this time, set the context of this verse, because, you know, I'm one of those people, and somebody gives me a verse, and then I'm like, oh, I got to go read the whole chapter. Are you like that? Because, you know, I have time now. And so I do it. I say, okay, thank you for that lovely verse, but now I need to read the whole chapter. So here's what's going on in this verse. John the Baptist is in prison. It's not necessarily a good time for his believers. And one of his believers comes to Jesus and said, I'm going to go visit John in prison. What should I tell him? Now, Jesus and John were cousins. You know, they knew each other from birth, even before birth. They knew about each other. And this is what Jesus said. Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured. Wow. wow. The deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. Good news about our Savior. Dear family, the bad news in the world right now is because the Prince of Darkness has been in control of this sad planet for too long. We know this as Christians. There are times I know when I will turn on the TV news and I see his handiwork. If not for the Word of God, we would all be in dismay. We must treasure his word. When we come to church, we need to share the stories of how he made a difference in our lives this week. If you aren't coming to Sabbath school, you should. I'm a little partial since we have one going on in the lobby, and then there's one in the other room. And then there are all kinds of children ones going on. But today, one of my friends shared a story with me about how God led him to choose a different flight for his son when he was supposed to go back to college. I'm sorry you missed that story. It was a really good one. It's these things that we share with each other when we sit in church and we sit as a group. We've got to share, what did God do for me this week? We got to keep reminding ourselves that there is good news. I want to share with you one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And you can get out your phone or your Bible or however you do it. But it starts in Acts chapter 8. Those of you who know this story will understand that I have always been fascinated with flying. As a small child in Minnesota, I would look up in the blue sky and wish to fly a plane because all my relatives were in the Air Force. I knew about planes, but I'd never experienced it. And I would look up there and think, man, wish I could ride in that plane. Well, when we moved from Minnesota to Florida in the middle of December, I was 8 years old, and in tremendous awe of my chance to follow this dream. My childhood memories of this trip from many moons ago is still very vivid in my mind. How many of you can remember the first time you flew on an airplane? Yeah, some people have a little fear of it. Me, it was excitement. I was looking out the window, looking at the patterns on the land. I was so excited. I couldn't believe I got to follow this dream and be up in the air. Now imagine if you could fly like that without an airplane. Well, it happened. Today, Bible, it's the story that I'm going to have you look at it, and that element is involved. But you know what? The Israelites they studied all the Old Testament. They knew about people going into the air without an airplane, didn't they? They had all those stories from their childhood when they would go to synagogue and they would know them. And so in this particular story, it's about that kind of flight without a plane. But the best part of the story is the good news at the end. So let's start at the beginning. You know, I like to read all the chapters before and after. And the early church right now is in turmoil. Jesus has ascended into heaven. They are being persecuted by Saul, who later has an amazing transformation. They scattered and they knew they could be captured and killed, like their brother Stephen, who was stoned. Let's read starting right here. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for an example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Evil spirits were cast out screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Don't you know that's how it always is with the good news with God? No matter who wants to persecute you, no matter what the devil puts out there, what do you have in your heart? The good news, right? So Philip's work in Samaria was so successful that he sent a message back to the people who were still in Jerusalem for help. It was exciting times. People were accepting the good word that Jesus was the Messiah. These people remembered Jesus and his message to the woman at the well. Remember that story? It all ties together. Jesus went and saved the woman at the well, and she saved all her people, and the message just flowed. The good news was already in Samaria, and Philip was just keeping it going. And so Samaria became a safe haven for disciples as they were being chased out of Jerusalem, stoned, persecuted, jailed, killed. Now think about this. Philip gets visited by an angel. I don't know about y'all, but I would just love to have a visit from an angel. I met one once, but that's another whole sermon, and we have people in this church who want to share their angel stories, but, well, and my sweet angel husband over there, but that's different. I'm talking about a heavenly angel, all right? So in this verse, in Acts 8, 26 through 28, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road. Y'all say after me, desert. It's really important in this story, okay? Desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority under the candidate, the queen of Ethiopia. So this dude had a big job taking care of her money, all right? And the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. If we think about that, he'd gone to Jerusalem to find good news. He needed to know God. And so he started out and he met this guy. And then we jump down to where it says, the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and as he was now returning, seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Okay, so let me just point out a few things if you don't get this. This dude had to have money, because back then, you know, it came out on scrolls, and it was all handwritten. So for him to be able to buy that book or that portion of that book, because we've been studying it, my Sabbath school class, bless all of y'all who studied and gotten through Isaiah with me, it's been difficult because I'm a little bit of a Pollyanna, and you know, my father-in-law already warned me that Isaiah is known as the book of tears. Okay, so we've gotten through it, okay? But luckily, we find out that this man is studying the portion of Isaiah that points to what? The good news of the Messiah coming. I'd like you to think about the jobs of angels. They were the ones to tell Mary and Joseph of the baby. They sang to the shepherds and formed the star above his humble manger. And now they were leading Philip to the seeker of the good news. Church, I'm just telling you, that book of Isaiah was difficult. Do you think this eunuch who was an accountant had any training in this book? But he was a seeker. He was a seeker. But God intervened. And the eunuch was studying the prophecy of the coming Messiah. God is so good, isn't he? He knows what part of his word we need just at the right time. Because, you know, about a month ago, I was with Celeste and Carlos and Maria and a few other people, and we were standing out in the cold, stomping our feet, and we were feeding the people at the pallet. If you have not done that yet and you have a chance, you need to go, because those people need to be prayed with. They need someone to tell them you are a child of God, and that's what we do. And we're standing there, and I said to Celeste, Celeste, friend, do you have somebody, any spot that you need somebody to preach? Because, you know, I kind of got January a little free. February, I'm going away to Texas. But I got some time in January. She goes, oh, yeah, I got a slot for you. And so I said yes. Because what do I have in my heart, y'all? The good news. The good news. And I didn't know what I was going to talk about, right? The very next day, I'm studying my Bible, and the Bible app brings up this story. Was that a coincidence? No. I was supposed to tell you about Philip today. This is God's choice, so I really do hope that it gives you a blessing. And here is what happens. And let's see if I can go forward here. Uh-oh. Let me go back one. I don't know what I've done, Ty. Let's see. I need to be on the next one. Is it right now? One more back? Nope. I love technology. You know, they used to say as a teacher, if it's gonna, I'm doing something wrong, Ty. Ty, I need the one that says, Acts 8, 29 and 31. And so you always need to have, oh, is it there? Well, it's not up here on my cheat sheet, y'all. Okay, so in teaching, whenever it was a rainy day, you know it rained today, right? Technology never works on a rainy day, especially when, you know, the old goose is running it. So anyway, let's read this, okay? It says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Okay, this was a chariot, y'all. And this guy had money. So it's like walking beside a Porsche, all right? So Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, How can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up to the carriage and sit with him. Here, please get into my Porsche. Help me understand this book I just bought in Jerusalem. But Philip already knew what he was looking for, didn't he? How did he know? Because an angel sent him. An angel sent him. Philip knew. Philip knew. Now, the Holy Spirit jumps in. So we've got a little bit of everything going on in this story. And I believe that everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit jumps in when we're ready. And it says in Acts of the Apostles, one of my favorite books, God saw that when converted, he, the eunuch, would give others the light he had received and would exert a strong influence in the favor of the gospel. Angels of God were attending the seeker for light, and he was being drawn to the Savior by the ministration of the Holy Spirit. The Lord brought him into touch with one who could lead him to the light. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go on with this story, I want to remind you, God will lead you to people who are seeking the light. The Holy Spirit is going to step in and be squishing on their heart. He's going to be tapping on their minds. He's going to say, "This is the good news you've been looking for." Okay. I guess I have to turn around this way. In Acts 8, 39 and 40, that's not the one I want to be at yet. Okay. My other slide's not working, so I'm just going to tell you what happened. So they get done reading the book of Isaiah, and he and Philip are trucking along in the Porsche, right? And all of a sudden, there's a body of water. Where are they? In the desert. Have you ever been in the desert, y'all? There's no water. But all of a sudden, there's some water. So let's just say, high five, Holy Spirit, there's some water. Could have been a mirage. No, it was real. God provides the things we need when we're sharing our faith, right? And so the eunuch says to him, we're going to get there. The eunuch says to him, "Can I be baptized?" And he says to him, "If you say Jesus Christ is the Messiah, you can be baptized." Raise your hand with me if you believe, y'all. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and I am saved. This is what we need. We need to remember, yes, we have this doctrine here, and we have these fundamental beliefs over here, and we are a church, and we are a denomination. But what is the most important good news? Jesus Christ is my Savior. Now, they walk on down to the water. They leave the Porsche behind. I'm sure there was a driver for the Porsche. And they leave the Porsche behind. They walk down to the water, and Philip baptizes him in what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Has this eunuch met all of them? Yes, he has. He's met the Trinity right there on a desert road by a body of water. Yes, he has. He's met them all. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatches Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Cool part there. When you get the good news, you rejoice, don't you? Yeah. And meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus, if I said that right. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to take that kind of trip. I think that was amazing. Can you imagine how it felt for Philip to be preaching after God had just transported him far up north? That'd be like if the Lord took me up to Minnesota and I had to make my way all the way back to North Carolina. And that's what he did. He made his way all the way back to Caesarea to the believers. And the whole way, what did he do? He preached the good news. Do we have a calling here at TAF? Yes, I believe we do. And you know, we're under a lot of transition right now as a church. Let's be honest about it. We're under some transitions right now. Does that stop us from being a church family? Oh, no, no. Does that stop us from sharing the good news? No, no, no. Look what this says. And this says in Acts of Apostles 109, paragraph 2, an angel guided Philip to the one who was seeking for light and who was ready to receive the gospel. And today, this Sabbath day, angels will guide the footsteps of those workers who will allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify their tongues and refine and ennoble their hearts. The angels sent to Philip could himself have done the work. Have you heard of stories of angels' ministry? Yes. He could have done the work for the Ethiopian, but this is not God's way of working. It is his plan that men are to work for their fellow men. That's y'all. That's all y'all. Let's be real Southern about it. It's super all y'all and me. God is saying, if you will let the angels lead you, he wants to use you, every single one of you. Please accept this calling, my church. This calling up here, it doesn't list your ethnic group. It doesn't list your financial status. It doesn't even list your age. You only need to seek. What are there some things that you could do here at TAF? While the praise team comes up, I'm going to tell you. We have a big move coming up. There are going to be neat people needing to pack boxes. Before that even happens, though, we have children's divisions in need of people to help. Those people are starting to get a little burnout, y'all. And then we've got Sabbath school classes, and we have need of more deacons and deaconesses. We have need of you going out to people around you and saying, come to my church. Come and hear the word of God. And if you're not sure what else you need to do, talk to Cedric. He has all kinds of programs coming up that you could help with. Talk to Carlos and Maria as we work to feed the poor and those in need. It is your calling, my church. It is your calling. Let me share one last verse with you. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Please take this verse home with you this week. Put it on your fridge. Do something with it to help you remember that these are Jesus's words speaking. Go read the whole chapter. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone.